go through our memory verse for the last week. It's from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And let's all join together and say this verse with one accord. You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. Okay. Now the verse for this Sunday is from Romans 15 verse 14. Okay, let's say it together. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Romans 15, 14. Once again. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Okay, now we listen to God's word from Brother Ian Robson.
I want to turn your attention first this morning to 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter in chapter 3 first. It speaks there. We won't read everything, but it speaks about how everything is going to be destroyed. And the very elements of the earth will be burned up. This time the world will be destroyed by fire. God did it once by water in Noah's time. And he says here in these words in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 11, he says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Do you know that we can hasten the coming of the day of God? I've often thought of that by the way we live. Because of which it says the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Praise the Lord. How wonderful it's going to be. Therefore, and this is the word I want you to look at. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. Regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Be diligent to be found by him in peace. Think about that. Last Sunday, when we celebrated families, and what has been on my heart that God's will for all of us, for every family in this church at least, that we should be, our home should be islands of peace. Islands of peace, not of unrestlessness, unrest and conflict and strife, but islands of peace. We saw how Jesus wept over Jerusalem and said, if you had known, even you in this day, the things which make for peace. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. I've been thinking much about it. The things which make for peace. Particularly in our homes, in our families, in our family life. And sadly, you have to say to them, it's hidden from your eyes now, because you did not recognize the day of your visitation. There are times when God draws near to us. We need to recognize those times. I know there are times in my life, and usually it's through trial and through difficulty and through many things can happen in our home life, in our family circle. And God seeks to draw near to us. He's not in any way punishing us, humiliating us, but he wants to draw near. He wants to teach us something. And it says in Romans in chapter 14, verse 19. You know, Paul says there, Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Before that, he says in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, concerning you, my brethren, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness. Sorry, I'm reading 15, Romans 14:13. It says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. And in verse 18, he says, so then, this is the word I want you to look at. He says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. And do not tear down, in this case, the work of God for the sake of food. That's something that I've been meditating on. It's a word that has come to me powerfully in a particular situation. And, you know, pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Don't tear down the work of God. And that's spoken to my heart, that is our calling in the church. Pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. And whatever it may be, whatever we do in the church, we don't tear down the work of God. And I want to say that to all of you, my brothers and sisters, those who do so many things for the church and do it so well, excellently, whatever you do. You know, looking up the audio, the video, the webcast, the singing, the choir, the musicians. Think of that. Let us to pursue the things which make for peace, not competition, not rivalry, not jealousy. And don't tear down the work of God with whatever God has called you to do in the church. Pursue the things which make for peace. That is what is on my heart. And I was thinking, what are the things that we must pursue to make for peace? In Romans 15, what I just read earlier. Romans 15, you know, we read verse 13. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he says, concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able also to admonish one another. I like this, what Paul says about this church. What a wonderful church this church in Rome was. Paul was not instrumental in establishing it, it's probably Peter. But he visited this church there. God had a purpose for him, and what he wrote, the letter of Romans, it's so wonderful, the truths there. So many truths, but justification by faith and God's calling, what God has predestined us, many things there. This was a wonderful church. There was no letter that Jesus had to write to this church to censor this church. And I can think why. Because he says, you yourselves are full of goodness. What a church it was. The people of this church, the brothers and sisters, were full of goodness and able also to admonish one another. And I was thinking about that. That's how it must be. In all the years, no matter how many years we have been in the church, it's no point boasting. I've been in the church from the beginning. I've been so many years in the church. In those years that I've been in the church, whether it's 40 years, whether it's 5 years, whether it's 1 year, how has it been in my life? Am I becoming full of goodness? Think about it. Full of goodness. In my home life, my wife, my children must see it more and more. Dad, mom, they see goodness. The brothers and sisters must see that in our lives, then we can say something's happening. And what we have here will really become true. That the glory of the Lord will shine forth from our lives. And what is the glory of the Lord? Goodness. The Lord will make it so. Is that happening, my brothers and sisters? In Ephesians chapter 5, turn there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then he tells us in verse 9, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness." The fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." You know, that's a tremendously encouraging word. That when I see the lack of goodness in my life, in many situations, this word I must take to heart. I must arise from my sleep. Arise, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You don't have to manufacture this goodness. We cannot manufacture it. If I rise from the dead and I see, Lord, I see that my need in this situation, my need for goodness, Christ will shine on you. And we will receive the power of the Holy Spirit to bring forth that goodness, because Galatians 5:22, that's one of the fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Fruit will come from my life. I cannot manufacture it. This is not a human goodness. Temperamentally, we may be humanly good, but that's no use for the kingdom of God. Because that can, you know, I can be put in a situation where that human goodness will not come forth. I need the goodness which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That only Christ can do. Christ will shine on you. What does it mean to be full of goodness? You know, we can just think about it. What does it mean to be full of goodness? We are thinking about the things that pursue for peace. This is something that's come to my own heart, to pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another, wherever it may be. Maybe our own family members. That's where it begins. Pursue the things that make for peace. Fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, and parents and children, and the building up of one another, not tearing down. That's not the work of God. And one of the things that we can think of to be full of goodness is firstly what we've heard in this church all these 40 years, to be without guile, without deceit. The first thing. I thought of seven things there. The first thing is to be without guile, without any deceit. I can give my hand without guile to my brothers and sisters. The other thing is not to be crafty. Paul says, you know, speaking of himself and his co-workers, "We are not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God." You see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We do not wear masks and play games, it says in the Message Bible. I don't need to wear a mask. I come to the meetings. I can be myself. You wear a mask besides your makeup, sisters? Brothers, you wear a mask. You play games. This is not the place. Not to be crafty, to be free from craftiness. Jesus said we are to be wise as serpents, not crafty as serpents. Wise as serpents, yes, but harmless as doves. Not crafty. To be transparent, that transparency. Third thing, that transparency reflects in my face. It was seen in Cain's face immediately. God said, Cain, why has your face fallen? If you do good, you also will be received. If you have good intentions, you will be received also like your brother Abel. Sometimes God has to say to us, my brothers and sisters, why is your face fallen? Somebody says something, or we are corrected, or something happens. We go around with a fallen face. No, that must never be there. We can never experience goodness. And without hypocrisy, that's the fourth thing, to be without hypocrisy. Ananias and Sapphira were a brother and sister in the church. They were a family in the church. But they connived together to deceive, to give an impression. They came with a mask. Peter saw it. Peter tore down that mask. They fell dead. Because that doesn't happen today in the church. You know, we can have the boldness to come bring hypocrisy, to bring the spirit of hypocrisy in the church. That is serious, my brothers and sisters. I can never experience goodness in my life if I'm a hypocrite. In everything, there must be transparency. In everything, you must be without hypocrisy. The other thing is, the fifth thing is not to be pugnacious. You know that word pugnacious, you think of a dog. You know, always wanting to pick a fight, ready to start, to pick or start a fight or an argument. Is that there? I know that was how it was with me in my unconverted life and even after coming to know Christ. But God has worked in me and worked in me. Ready to pick a fight. And particularly in the home, in our relationship with each other. Are you pugnacious? You know, Paul says, you know, beware of dogs. You know, that word refers to the pugnacious, and a pug, a dog that's ready to fight. You see, a dog, you know, it's ready to fight. And some dogs are so big. I remember seeing a picture, you know, you see it on the gate. Every time I think, you know, that's a word I need to take heart to. You drive down the road, you walk down the road, beware of dogs. Am I pugnacious? Then people have to beware of me. In the home, am I a pugnacious father or a mother, always ready to pick a fight? I can't be full of goodness. Now I was saying, I saw a picture of a dog on a gate. You see, beware of dogs. But once I saw this very unusual picture of a big dog, and next to it says, beware, he's on duty. I hope nobody's on duty here, waiting to go home to pick a fight. No, we're not to be pugnacious. We must let the Spirit work in us. The fruit of the Spirit is all goodness. Once I was like that. But if I'm following Jesus, and if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit every day, that'll disappear, that'll go from my life. And my family members will be the first ones to see it. Dad has changed. Mom has changed. My brothers and sisters, this is what it means. This is the life God has called us to. The sixth thing is that malicious gossips. We're talking about things, you know, if we want to be full of goodness. Malicious gossips. You know, if someone is malicious, he doesn't just make bad things happen. He loves to make bad things happen. I was reading that. He doesn't make bad things happen, but he loves to make bad things happen. When you're just waiting for something to happen to that person. Ah, see, I was right. We like that? Then nothing has happened, no matter how long you've been in this church. And the seventh thing is to have a complaint that turns into an accusation. You know, there's no sin in having a complaint, but we are told what we can do with our complaints. But how quickly a complaint can turn into an accusation, do you know that? The line is very thin. How quickly you can change sides. To have a complaint. There were complaints in the early church about partiality shown to a particular group of people. And the apostles immediately, they met together to address it because they didn't want it to turn into an accusation before Satan took advantage and he got many people going over to his side with accusations. The apostles are partial. And they chose seven men full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom and full of faith. And I was thinking, they did not say to these poor Greek widows here, "You must die, sister. You love food too much. Why are you complaining you're not getting enough food?" They didn't say that. They addressed the problem. You know, we can be super spiritual. "You got to die, brother. You got to die, sister. You got to deny yourself some food." No, there was partiality. It had to be addressed before that complaint became an accusation. And that's how it must be. And we need brothers and sisters, not just the elders, before a complaint turns into an accusation, help that brother, help that sister. That's what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. So, Colossians 3, verse 12, it says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone." There it is. You have a complaint, forgive. Before it turns into an accusation. Because you don't know. You don't know. Maybe you have a complaint about somebody, the way they are treating you. He ignored me, turned away. You know, he walked away. Or she just ignored me. I tried to get her attention. You don't know. There can be so many reasons. But you know, little things, and it's always trivial things that make us have a complaint. And we can carry that complaint in our hearts and it becomes an accusation. It becomes a letter of accusation. It can be so many things. At once we are so quick to pass judgment, so quick to come to conclude. "Yeah, now I know. That's why he has something against me. She has something against me." Or in the home, watch out, my brothers and sisters. It says there that if you have a complaint against anyone, forgive. "Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ act as a referee in your hearts." There it is again. It's Colossians 3. "To which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." You know, there's a referee in our hearts. Particularly when we have a complaint. And listen to the whistle. Because that's where we are crossing over. We are crossing to the opponent's side where we begin to accuse one another. And that's dangerous for the church. Those are not the things that pursue peace and the building up of one another. The church is to be one big island of peace. Our homes are to be one be islands of peace. Let's seek to make it that, my brothers and sisters. Let's seek that all these seven things are cleansed. There are many more, but these are things that came to my own heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Act as a referee. Thank God we have a referee in our heart. The moment I begin to complain about somebody, and I tell you, it can be different situations. I may not even be involved or concerned, but I'm quick to give my opinion. I'm quick to pass judgment. And it's not too long but it becomes an accusation. And when the referee blows its whistle, I know I've committed a foul. Quickly stop. You don't continue the game. Stop and say, "Lord, forgive me. You've forgiven me so much. I forgive. I release that person." And so, as we go on, what is the secret of the life this church in Rome had come to, in that Paul could confidently say to them, "I myself also am convinced you are full of goodness." You know, can that be said of CFC? Can Brother Zach write to us, or can others say, I'm convinced this church, CFC Bangalore, is a church full of goodness. What a testimony. I don't think we've got there yet. But there are some, praise God, there are some. And I pray to God that their numbers will increase, will be full of goodness. We can build a church here, my brothers and sisters. We will not end up as a congregation. We'll build the body of Christ. It's peace that is the mark of the body of Christ. And what was the secret of the life of this church? Have you thought of it? If you read Romans, look at Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 19. Here's the secret. Here's what brought this church to such a life. And here's what will bring us, you and me, to such a life. Because we are part of this church. It says, for the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore I am rejoicing over you. But I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. That was the secret of this church. Your obedience has reached to all. The report of your obedience became known to all the other churches. This church is in Rome is an obedient church. They obey the commands of Jesus Christ. They obey God. It was an obedience, not a legalistic obedience. It was an obedience of faith. I want you to look at that, Romans chapter 1. In the very first chapter that Paul writes, Romans chapter 1, where he talks about his apostleship. And he says in chapter 1 in verse 5, he says, through whom, that is Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. That was his calling, to bring about the obedience of faith. And that's why at the end he could say, the report of your obedience has reached to all. And they were full of goodness. He says, and you know, don't stop, don't pat yourself on the back. I want you to be wise in what is good, innocent, be a baby when it comes to doing evil. Be wise in what is good, but when it comes to doing evil and paying back evil, be a baby, be an infant. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. My brothers and sisters, here is the secret. Whatever we may go through in our home life, whatever may happen in our families, whatever the problem is, we are wise in what is good. And when it comes to evil, we are innocent. We are babies. We don't pass judgment. We don't let our complaints become accusations. Then the God of peace comes in. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. And the grace of our Lord Jesus will be with you. So like I was saying, it's not just an obedience of the letter. That's legalism. There's two different things, to obey in the letter and to obey out of faith. I thank God I've seen it. It's books. Obedience in the letter is heavy. God's commandments are heavy and burdensome. The obedience of faith is an easy yoke. The obedience of faith is a light burden. Not that there are no burdens. We have difficulties, we have problems, we carry burdens, but the burden is light. I can testify to that. Because we obey out of faith. And it's not just an obedience of faith, you know. That can be presumption and fantasy. Some people think they have faith. They get up in the meeting, I've heard that in a couple of churches. They get up and say, there's always a field of flowers and all sorts of things. I have a vision, and usually sisters. Presumption, fantasy. Two different things. the obedience of the letter, which is legalism, the obedience of only faith, which is presumption, not actually faith, it's presumption and fantasy, the obedience of faith, the faith that comes from God, from the Holy Spirit, that is what Paul is talking about. And if we obey out of faith, this will lead us into a life full of goodness, my brothers and sisters. And then we can encourage others and admonish others. Don't stop, because you don't take yourself on a guilt trip after hearing this and say, no, I must stop talking in the meetings, I must stop sharing. If you decide, Lord, I want this in my life, I want to pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another, particularly in my family life, in my home life, with my husband, with my wife, with my children, pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another. And I want to say that if we do that, it works. The God of peace crushes Satan under our feet. So if you're not filled yet with goodness, don't pull back. Do not get discouraged. Just do one thing this morning. Open your life to the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I lack goodness. I look at my life, Lord, and there's a lack of goodness here. But I want you to do something. I want to open my life to you. I want to open my life to your Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will come upon you, come upon us, my brothers and sisters, and change us, make us into different men and women, different brothers and sisters, different husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. That is God's calling. And if I obey out of faith, I have begun. The filling has begun, so don't stop sharing in the meetings. Get up and confess and testify. One day you'll be full. I thank God that I discovered that this is the life that Jesus has called us to live on this earth. This is the glory that's going to shine from our lives. The Lord will make it so, but He cannot make it so unless we obey out of faith. May God give you understanding and open your eyes to see that this is the faith which Jesus lived His life on this earth. This is the faith that the Apostle Paul lived His life and served God. He said that, I'm crucified with Christ. The life which I live now, I live by faith. In one translation says, by faith of the Son of God. Not just by faith in the Son of God, but by the faith of the Son of God who lived and died for me. That's the same faith that Jesus had. And that's the life that you and I have been called to, my brothers and sisters. So let's pursue the things which make for peace, the building up of one another. And let's begin, if you have not begun. If you're on the path, continue. Like Paul said to this church, be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. Amen.
I praise God for the word we heard. I was thinking about this verse, which says, the glory of the Lord will shine from you, and you will be joy for the world. I think this is what we heard. You will be joy for the world. That means joy to those who live with me and those who come across our path. And that's the goodness. To be joyful to others, that means they see something good in us, maybe something merciful in us. And that happens only when the Lord shines. Yeah. As I have experienced in my own life, God's goodness is abundant beyond my understanding, imagination. And that's what I've experienced. Even if I do something, as Brother Vetri was telling, I feel like I'm just doing just a percent, as 1%, something like that to others. Somebody says, thank you for doing this. I feel like I have received abundant goodness of God in my life. As we have heard, there's a difference between New Testament and the Old Testament. Old Testament, the laws and commandments were great. And in the New Testament, God has given us, blessed us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit makes us sensitive, gives us a sensitive heart. And as we were hearing from Brother Ian, peace is such a blessing. And that blessing we can recognize by having a sensitive heart to peacelessness. Because I have come across many unbelievers, and also I lived an unbelieving life. I know what that insensitive heart means. We can be totally blind to peacelessness, totally blind to lovelessness. We can be loveless outright and say, I'm absolutely okay. Means I used to say that. I have come across many, many unbelievers who don't have light. And that is what my prayer when I was hearing Brother Ian, that Lord, give me a sensitive heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will give me a sensitive heart to peacelessness. Maybe I can say a word to my wife or my daughters and may not feel peacelessness. In fact, when we read Ephesians 4, it says hardness of heart. That I can come to that place. I may become hard that I don't feel peacelessness. We can pray that, Lord, fill our heart with your Spirit that I may become sensitive. Like we have heard from Brother Zach, I was thinking about that. Such a blessing God has given us in our tongue by giving us a sensitive tongue. If we had not had a sensitive tongue, we would have eaten anything without knowing whether it's a poison or it may be spoiled food we could have eaten and dead. But because our tongue is sensitive, we are careful. If we eat something which is dangerous and poisonous, we spit it out. So may God help us that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit may give us a sensitive heart that we may be sensitive to this lovelessness and peacelessness, as we heard from the beginning, that the last days, we are approaching last days, and the last days are marked by peacelessness and lovelessness. We need to be very much more sensitive to peacelessness and lovelessness. But God is committed to do it, like the verse, the promise says, He will shine. He will shine His peace into our heart, His love and His goodness into our heart, so that automatically we become sensitive, and He will do it. That's the word, and I'm blessed by it. Amen.
I want to close with this verse we heard this morning in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It's repeated twice, so I want to say it once again. It says it. Don't lose heart. Let us not lose heart. And then after some time it says here, don't grow weary. In other words, you don't have to be discouraged. If you keep on doing good, keep on blessing, no matter how the other person reacts. See, if other people are nasty, they react in a bad way, we don't have to retaliate in the same way. You keep doing good, you keep blessing, and then it says, you will reap. That's for those who are sleeping. I want to wake you up this morning. You will reap. What a blessed word. And that's why we don't have to get discouraged. There's a future. And you know, you can't come to that place where you're full of goodness suddenly. Keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing. Suddenly you'll find the harvest is so rich. And oh, may God help us to experience God's goodness more and more, so that we can share their goodness with others. Okay.